Cambridge 105 Radio. On this morning's show, we're delighted to have Chef Rosie Sykes with us. Rosie is well known in Cambridge, where she's been head chef at Fitzbillies and then development chef for Pint Shop. Rosie is not only a chef, but is a food writer and menu consultant. She set up the Sutton Arms in London's Smithfields and writes for The Guardian's Weekend magazine. Thank you very much for joining us today, Rosie. It must be a really busy time for you, and we really appreciate the time.
Good morning. That is a pleasure, an absolute pleasure.
We want to speak about Christmas because there's so much pressure for one big meal, isn't there? And it can be really stressful for we not so great cooks. Now, I'm not actually including Susie in this because I think she's actually very good. And I struggle under the pressure of trying to get about 10 items of the expected foodstuff onto the table at the same time. Have you got any tips? Can you kind of cast a magic spell over me, please?
Well, Linda, do you know what? I mean, it is a lot to expect of anybody, 10 things on the table at once. I mean, my biggest tip is try and do things in advance. There are things that you have to do at the time, like roast potatoes. But for example, your turkey or your chicken or your goose or whatever it is, that always likes a really nice rest. And depending on the size of it, that could be up to 40 minutes. So that gives you a really nice bit of leeway. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. Allow yourself 45 minutes before the time you want to serve it up. Depending on the size of it, if it's a small bird, you only need about 20 minutes. But if you factor that time in and then you rest it somewhere warm, not hot, just warm, when you come to carve it, it will be so much easier because it will have relaxed back into itself and all the juices go back into it. So honestly, it will sort of change your bird relationship. So that's one thing you don't have to worry about. Then the other thing I always think is don't try and make everything what we in the trade call a la minute, which means at the last minute, essentially. So things like do a lovely braised red cabbage, for example, that can just be sitting on the back simmering away, doesn't need any extra work, because you could have made that 3 days ago. And in fact, things like that improve with a bit of time. Then also something maybe like clapshot, which is really delicious, which is mashed carrot and swede, lots of butter and nutmeg.
Oh, that sounds
something
nice.
Like that. Again, you can have done that in advance. And if you don't have the energy for mashing, you could use a stick blender or put that in a food processor. Just do anything that's going to make your life a bit easier.
Good advice.
Lots of people will do things like, I believe Prue Leith tells you that you can make your bread sauce, we've all passed the date, you know, on sort of Halloween, and put it in your freezer. So again, there are lots of little things. I know we're getting a bit near the time for that, but
I think I've done what you have suggested many, many times, and it does work if you are prepared. But there's just moments where you have prepared, you've over-prepared, you've put everything in the freezer, and then you forget that it's in the freezer. And I've done that many, many times. I've gone back in 6 months after the Christmas. Yes. Thinking, crikey, I had that. That was in the freezer. So I guess for me, the moral of the story is label things. That's probably what I think is probably the best thing.
That's a brilliant point, Susie, because I've heard terrible stories of people who haven't labeled things and think they're getting out vanilla ice cream and it's actually bread sauce. Which they're then serving up.
Better than vanilla ice cream in my book, but
well, completely agree, Linda. It's the only thing I want on Christmas Day, if I'm honest, bread sauce.
Me too. I love bread sauce.
So good.
I've got some quick fire questions for you here.
Okie dokie.
Cooking turkey upside down to keep it moist, is that a thing?
It is a thing. It's a thing I'm not convinced by. I mean, I've heard all sorts of things like, make sure your turkey legs are in the far right hand back corner because that's the hottest bit and that's going to make sure that you get the temperature in the right place. But I think the secret is the resting. I really do. The thing about turkey is that it's got these huge great legs that it uses to carry around its huge great breasts. And and they take a lot of cooking. So in my book, I would always do them separately if you can. Get your butcher to take the legs off. I know it's not maybe as exciting. I don't know, but I don't hold much truck with this upside down business.
Yeah, I did wonder. It's a bit ungainly for the turkey, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I don't think you'll gain anything from it.
Sprouts, to score or not to score?
Oh, very good one, Linda. Well, in these modern times, people don't seem to score them so much. I haven't scored for a couple of years, I don't think. My thing is, in fact, cut them in half.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, because it just makes it a little bit easier. But that's partly because I actually normally roast my sprouts. So it definitely makes it easier for that. Give them a little bit of a blanch in boiling water, salted water. And then again, you can do that in advance and then roast them in some goose fat or some bacon or anything really, butter. But yes, I don't think scoring is, well, it depends again on the size of the sprouts. If you've got very big sprouts, I would suggest you might want to cut across in the bottom. But if you've got really big sprouts, I'd suggest perhaps having some frozen peas instead, because they're just going to be hard work, aren't they, I think.
And what about potatoes, Rosie? Because I have been parboiling them and sort of pre-cooking them as well. And I think Linda's nodding. I think we've both done that.
Parboil.
And actually it's been a real success, particularly it takes the time out. But is that the right way? I mean, do you have an even more sort of interesting way of doing things?
I'm with you too. I'm afraid I'm with you too. Just parboil and then give them a good shake in the colander so they get lots of nice fluffy edges, and then you get that fab crispness, and that's what's going to make your day, let me tell you. So you two have got it down, I think. Definitely.
Well, it's the one thing I think I would say I'm quite good at. Roast potatoes. Nothing else. It's the one thing I can do.
I don't believe that for a minute though, Linda. I bet you know how to make bread sauce.
I used to know how to make bread
sauce. Oh, it's all coming
out
now.
My granny used to make bread sauce from scratch. And now I go to M&S. Bye.
That's all right. You're allowed. Everybody's allowed to give themselves a break, especially in this mad year.
Rosie, I want to ask you a question, because I'm always thinking this could happen to me. We have a dog and we have a cat. What if the turkey gets eaten by the dog and the cat? What's the alternative? Because I bet it's happened.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've heard a lot of those tales. First of all, make sure that you send the dog or cat outside and leave them there for a while to think about their actions. And then I think you just have to say, well, the vegetable's going to be the centre. Possibly might you have some pigs in blankets or a nice meaty stuffing or something. If that happens, I guess there's two options. It depends how badly they've done. I've heard stories of a cat pulling a turkey off a little chair that was sitting outside the back door, and then the cook going out and retrieving it, doing a little bit of cleaning up, putting it back in the oven for a minute and not telling anybody else till years later. I'm not condoning that, but that's one option.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think you just have to laugh about it. And,
you do, don't you?
Open it to the spam.
Exactly. Yeah. Or make a Stilton omelette, say, you know.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I think just to put a centrepiece in, I think it's the whole tradition is just having a centrepiece to focus on. I don't know what it is, but that seems to be the main thing, is it just have something that we are adding to the middle. Anyway, thank you for that. That's good to know.
It is good. Waste, it really, really annoys me. And there's a lot of that at Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Is there any way of reducing waste? Just maybe buy less is maybe one
Absolutely.
Of the things.
But... Yeah, no, completely. I am a waste czar. It's the thing I hate. And I've written about it quite a lot, actually. So, yes, I think it's really important to think very carefully about how much everybody can actually eat, because we're like, oh, I might add a bit of that on. Oh, why don't we do that as well? And actually, it always ends up being too much. Mm-hmm. So I think especially at Christmas, doing a bit of a plan of your meals will really help with the waste. And then otherwise, what you need to think about is what you can do with things that are left over. And there are so many fantastic things you can do with, you know, leftover turkey. We often make a really delicious, almost sort of Asian style turkey soup with sweet corn and ginger, and really warming and delicious. Always make a really good stock with all your bones, and then you could make all sorts of, you know, like a more like a risotto, say, with stock, or so things like that. And then all the vegetables, of course, bubble and squeak, everybody loves that, so why wouldn't you on Boxing Day with a bit of a, possibly a bit of a hangover, nothing better.
Surely not. What do you take us for, Tracy?
Well, I think this year everybody's allowed to have a hangover, aren't
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, that kind of leads me on very, very nicely to a question that you will never, ever get asked on The Amazing Flavour on Cambridge 105. But this is my question to you, Rosie. How drunk are you allowed to be when you're cooking that Christmas dinner? One glass, two, more.
Well, you can definitely have one. Probably the second you can say is to go in the gravy. You can always have one that you're saying, I'm trying it, but most of it's going in the cooking.
You
definitely need to keep your wits about you. So, I wouldn't go more than two.
I think, Linda, you probably have the dog or the cat if you don't go too far. The dog or the cat will eat the turkey. So,
well,
that's what you need
sadly,
to watch.
No pets this year anymore.
Oh, okay.
Wait, I'm not in any danger of the cat stealing the turkey. Maybe the husband might drag it off. I don't know. Rosie, you've had a book out recently, haven't you? Tell us about that.
Yes. So, I was commissioned by the National Trust to write a book which is called Roasting Pan Suppers. And that's partly why I like to roast a sprout, actually, because this whole book is about just putting things in an oven tray and putting them in the oven. So it's sort of to hopefully make your life a little bit easier. So it ranges from all sorts of things from all over the world. So I've got a really wonderful, really aromatic chicken curry with almonds and cardamom, all done in the oven. A really nice lamb dish. I was given the dish by a friend's mother, and you basically really slowly cook a lamb shoulder with loads of ginger and some honey and some five spice. And then my idea is that you serve that up with the pancakes like you do when you have crispy duck.
Oh, yes.
So it's really easy. You just leave it in the oven. I mean, it has to be in the oven for quite a long time, but you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is slice some cucumber and spring onion. Find your duck pancakes, which you can get in all the lovely Asian supermarkets. And it's just such a great meal. There are some lovely fish dishes in there and quite a lot of vegetarian and vegan. But the idea is put it in the oven and go and do other things. So
that sounds like a good book.
Can people get a hold of that, Rosie?
Well, I know because my Auntie Mary has been to buy several copies. You can get it in Waterstones. It was in WH Smith's as well. It was selling for £5 in WH Smith's, which is a bargain because its RRP is £15, I think. But it's about 75 recipes, and there are some puddings thrown in there. And there's a brilliant one talking about waste, actually, Linda, at Christmas. It's a chocolate, chestnut and clementine bread pudding, not bread and butter pudding, bread pudding. So it's, you use up all your old scraps of bread, and it's top drawer.
That sounds absolutely,
I'm so
perfect.
Hungry as well.
Thank you for that, Rosie. Pop back to the kitchen soon, basically. It's a great idea having pan dinners. I think the whole idea of having roasting pan suppers is absolutely so obvious when we lead busy lives, and even if we're at home, we're doing lots of stuff and we're trying to keep going, and as much as you want to create something nice, it's so nice to have books like that and just say, you know what, you don't need to spend a lot of time, just make something very nice, and you've done it, so well done you.
Thank you Susie.
Perfect. Thank you very much indeed, Rosie Sykes, for joining us this morning. It's been fantastic.
Thank you, it was lovely.